Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Now, okay, we've got Justin Dunk now. CHCH TV Studios is where he's at, from 3downnation.com. Are you getting tired of being asked if they're going to play or not?
Yes.
How about that?
I literally have to tell people, I can't give you an answer because the CFL doesn't know if they're going to play or not.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show, everybody, on this Tuesday, August 4th. Hope you had a good long weekend. I put all my pins away. I must have.
They're all behind the
throwing them all over the place. I don't need it at this particular moment. It's hour two of Canada's daytime sports talk show. Thanks for joining us. It's a exhale from the Game Plus broadcast, the national broadcast. A little easier, hey?
Oh, yeah.
You know, we can just let it all out. Wonderful visit in hour one with Vernon Adams, Montreal Alouettes quarterback. Like, highly, highly entertaining. And I'll say it again. We'll get into the CFL reset and what I've learned and what I actually believe is going to happen. But look, Stanley Cup playoffs has started, man. It is just wild for the NHL that they're going already on a Wednesday. What's today, day four? I'm loving it. How about
I know.
You?
I'm loving every second of it. We got the game on out in the hallway, in the lobby. We've got checking for updates. You're watching it all day. The best part, too, is, not watching every game. I'm listening. So I'm driving home from the lake. I'm listening to radio broadcasts of the games, and it sounds incredible. Without the fans, the radio broadcast sounds just like any other playoff game.
Yep.
With the piped-in crowd noise. It's awesome. I love it.
I don't know where to start. It's all over the place. People say, how are you going to do a sports show without sports? Well, we do have sports, so that's cool. But our poll question today was going to be, Clark and I were texting back and forth before we left each other's house, that our own house, that is. We weren't at each other's house. I wanted to ask, are you into the Stanley Cup playoffs? Because you're seeing a lot of people. I had some backlash from people saying, oh, I want to be outside. I don't want to watch hockey. Well, you can do both, but
yeah.
But Clark and I said, let's just wait and do that Wednesday. It's Tuesday. It's our Canada's Game of the Week poll question, right? For Capital Automall Universal Collision Center for the CFL Sim. And these are week nine games in the actual CFL and, of course, in the simulated world. Leading the poll. They already put it up there. It's a runaway BC at Saskatchewan. The other games this week are Winnipeg at Ottawa, Montreal at Hamilton, and Toronto at Calgary. Now, I get it, and I know the fans of the other CFL teams are mad that every time there's a poll, the Riders win it. Well, don't be mad at the Rider fans. You need to retweet it. You need to tell your friends that you want them to vote on it if you want your team broadcast. Frankly, I vote for Winnipeg at Ottawa for a few reasons. The biggest of which, it's Paul LaPolice, virtual Paul LaPolice, facing his former team for the first time. You know he's going to have those red blacks firing. LaPolice tweeted at me yesterday, not a fan of the Sim. And one of the guys on their staff DM'd me, not a fan of the Sim, because the red blacks are 0-7. And I said, I'm going to come in and physically assault our computer guy, virtually assault him, because I don't want Ottawa 0-7 either.
No. But they looked good last week.
They showed flashes of brilliance. I was going back and forth with viewers of that are watching the Sim, and I said, it's a major rebuild. These virtual Red Blacks have not learned how to win yet.
Which is a thing.
It's a thing.
Learning how to win.
Of course it is.
I vote Toronto-Calgary. Two juggernauts, Toronto shockingly shut out in the Sim last week. I couldn't believe
by that. By the Bombers,
who haven't had a good start. So the parity just is evident, and that's the game I wanted to
see. Except for Ottawa. And that sucks. But listen, we could do a whole separate talk show on the CFL Sim, because the players and the coaches are into it. And I'll say it was the Argos that called me a week or two ago and said, listen, we love this. How can we support it? How can we back it? How can we get into it? How can we support you? It was the Argos people. Mm-hmm. And before we bring in Jason LaBarbera, goalie coach of the Calgary Hitmen, longtime NHL goalie and dub goalie, our director of scouting is watching Craig Smith, and he says, I love the MLSC news. I'm not good with it. I'm great with it. Love our league. Is there room on the Leafs bandwagon? Go Leafs. Hashtag MLSE. So it's all about MLSE. You know he's a Jets fan, and I could sit here and talk about the Jets and the Flames for hours. We don't have enough time.
I know.
I'm going on TSN 1290 Winnipeg this afternoon with Hustler and his boy Rick Ralph, and we'll be talking Jets Flames there. I'm excited. Times are good. But to the MLSE thing, this is the, what I've pieced together over the last several days that I don't mind spilling this. The MLSE is going to save the Canadian Football League as you know it. And I believe this to be true because I've talked to enough people. This isn't just coming from one guy. This is coming from several. And I said the reset in the CFL isn't going to be as painful or difficult as we all were led to believe or thought that it could be. If there's no football in 2020, and I don't think there will be, that clause in the CBA that says all contracts become null and void is actually a good thing. You can get rid of all the bad contracts in there. You can completely restructure the salary structure of the CFL. The top-heavy executives that we talked about that made this not an attractive venture for Ottawa to fund, you're going to start to hear them leaving the CFL, jumping before they're pushed, if you will. So you're not paying big severances and payouts and that kind of thing. You're going to hear that. Just watch in the next little while. Randy Ambrosi will remain the commissioner and seems to be pretty seamless. Now, you're going to have to get through a 2020 without CFL football, but I think as awful as it is, that was going to be the case anyways. I guess that's a cost of doing business.
Yeah, I would think so. Things are going to happen. It's not going to be all wins, right? There's going to be a cost of doing business.
Yes.
That just might be it. That might be it.
I got to unlock my computer here. It locks after like a minute. So do you want to talk about your Leafs again?
Not really. They got some work to do. I will tell you, last time I checked, the Florida Panthers were winning. Hoffman had the opening goal. They were up 1-0 after 20 minutes over the Islanders right now. That game's on right now. And I believe, yeah, they're into the second period now.
So. You know what? It's not our poll question today, but it could be. I want to say it again. Don Jackson, the Ticats running back, put on Twitter yesterday, what have you learned during the pandemic? And I felt like saying that nobody knows anything. That's what I've learned.
Yeah.
The other thing is everybody's entitled to their own opinion. Like with the hockey, I cannot tell you how much I'm enjoying the Stanley Cup playoffs. I'll say it for the 100th time. If I don't believe it, I'm not going to say it. I put it on Twitter. I love these playoffs so much. I don't need people in the building. I'm not looking outside the boards. Maybe that I'm not the biggest baseball guy or the biggest soccer guy, because that sucks without fans, in my opinion. But hockey, I don't even notice a difference. So I'm getting the playoff vibe, but I'm hearing a lot of people aren't. And that's fine. That just tells you it's a different person-to-person-to-person experience. That's all.
And forget about the summer. I mean, you can do both. I spent Saturday afternoon floating around Canada Lake on my paddleboard with my Bluetooth speaker and a waterproof bag, listening to Jack Michaels and the Oilers play-by-play team on the radio on 6:30 in Edmonton, calling the game. It was the greatest. And then on the tennis court, Sunday, had the game on in the morning, you know, listening to the game. And then when you're back at the cabin, you put it on TV. It's easy. You can enjoy both.
I'm not interested in arguing at all with anybody. Everybody wants to argue. And when you don't put up that fight, they kind of seem disappointed. They want to fight.
I know.
Right? But this Randy Rath says, can't get into watching hockey in August. Games are like scrimmages without fans. I would only say sucks to be you then, Randy. Because I'm absolutely loving it. And for our next guest, who is the goaltender's coach of the Calgary Hitmen, Jason LaBarbera, he is a Burnaby, BC product. I didn't know he broke into the dub with Tri-City, where he played two games and then spent it with Portland, finished with Spokane, and then into the National Hockey League, 187 games in the Big Show with the Kings, Canucks, Coyotes, Ducks, and Rangers, and then around in the minors, Charlotte, Hartford, Manchester, Oklahoma City, Rockford, Norfolk. And I followed his career after he left. There he is, Jason LaBarbera, joining us in video chat today. How are you doing, Jason?
Good, fellas. How are you guys?
Great.
That's a lot of teams there.
I know. So I'm watching hockey yesterday with a guy on his couch. You might have actually played with him. I'm not going to name him. But he said, Portland's the best junior hockey city to play in. And he played in a few. Is it? What would you say?
100%.
Yeah?
Yeah,
why?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I was so lucky to play there. Well, one, you're in a big city, big arena, but the fans there and the atmosphere in the building there is just like it's you can't compare it, because the one thing with junior hockey fans in the U.S. is they just want to be entertained. You know, they're not as into like watching the game and really understanding the nuances of the game like a lot of the Canadian fans are. You know, and the other thing too is a lot of the Canadian cities, it's older people and kids. The U.S., it's like, let's get drunk and have a good time and see some fights. And that's kind of how it is. And that's kind of how it always has been. And the atmosphere in Portland, Seattle, you know, I never got to play in Everett, but Spokane, like phenomenal places.
Well, he only played two games there. And by the way, I don't know. Brooks Paisley is his name. You may or not remember him, but he's a hockey guy. He spent two full seasons in Brandon. So you actually would have played together, but not for a real long time. But how did it come to be that you went to Spokane at the end? Was that the Memorial Cup year and they got you to load up? What was the deal at the end, junior?
Well, you mentioned Tri-City. So it's funny, like this would never happen nowadays, but I was a 16-year-old in Portland. It was me and Brent Bilecki. Bilecki got hurt. We traded for Chris Wickenheiser, who was a 20-year-old. So then when Bilecki came back, I was the third guy. So at the time, Tri-Cities had Brian Boucher. Brian Boucher went to World Juniors for the U.S. team. And they asked if I wanted to go to Tri-Cities for 3 weeks. So they loaned me to Tri-Cities for 3 weeks. That's how I got my two games in with Tri-Cities. And then I went back to Portland. So it was obviously that would never happen now. But yeah, I went from Portland. I backed up a game with Tri-Cities against Portland. I played a full game and a half with Tri-Cities Americans. And then went back to Portland and played my 3.5 years there in Portland. And then my last year as a 19-year-old got traded to Spokane, where we lost in the league final to Kootenay that year. And Dan Blackburn, who stole the show that year.
That guy, career cut too short. Man, was he something special, Dan Blackburn. So let's jump to, these Stanley Cup playoffs right now, Jason, like I'm loving them. I don't even see any difference. How are you for watching the games on TV with no crowds?
Well, I didn't leave my couch all day on Sunday. I literally sat there all day. I got a few dirty looks from the wife, but I literally didn't move. I was watching hockey the whole time. It was nice just to see and be excited, even though it's way different. I mean, it is what it is. But it's exciting just to see hockey again and seeing how the guys are reacting to what's going on. And I've been super impressed with just how competitive the guys have been, how hard guys are working. You know, it's not an easy thing for those guys to do. But you can tell that they're dug in and they're taking it serious. And that's awesome to see.
Well, there's so many things I can get to with you. I'm going to ask you about the junior in a second and your role in coaching Canadian junior goalies. But in these Stanley Cup playoffs, have you thought about what it would be like to be playing in them, if it would be strange? I'll start with that and then I'll follow it up.
Yeah, I've talked to a couple guys that are in there, you know, players and obviously some goalie coaches in the league that are in the bubble right now. And it's been good. Like they've done a good job. Now it's only a handful of days in. The guys that are going to have to go 3 full months in that sort of environment, you know, it might wear on them as it sort of goes along, especially being away from their families and stuff. But they just said it's unique. It's a unique environment. It feels like they're in a minor hockey tournament. They're at the hotel. They see all the other teams there. They come to the rink. They see all the other teams there. You're warming up. You can see sometimes, you know, I saw one picture where the game that was going on the ice, the teams that are playing next were kind of in the corner watching. So it's got a unique feel to it. Obviously it's a lot different than what we're used to, but I don't know. I'm excited just to see hockey.
Well, it's got a minor hockey tournament feel. Because we all did that, right, when we were kids watching the next teams play. Is there one team that you follow more or cheer for more than the others that you played for, or maybe that you even grew up as a fan of? Who are you cheering for in these Stanley Cup playoffs?
Well, I mean, again, you named off 8 of the teams that I played for. So, you know, that's a quarter of the teams that are – a third of the teams that are playing, I guess. So you're excited. Like, you always want those teams that you played for to do well. Obviously, I live in Calgary now and I work with the Hitmen, so I'm around the Flames quite often. So, you know, you want them to do well as well. So, you know, you're not necessarily cheering for anybody specifically, but, you know, you just want certain people that you know in the game to have some success.
I get it. Well, let me know your thoughts on a couple issues. This is the fourth day of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and there's already been a ton of storylines to me. Matthew Tkachuk, did he mean to slice Scheifele's leg or not? What do you think?
No. Guys don't do that. If it wasn't Matthew Tkachuk, it wouldn't be a problem, you know. And I've always enjoyed watching him play because every time he's on the ice, something happens, good or bad. He's a tough guy to play against. He's a guy that causes, obviously, as you can see, he stirs the pot. He's a pain in the ass to play against. He's got that stupid mouth guard hanging out of his mouth that just drives everybody crazy. But he plays hard. He's such a smart hockey player, and he knows what he's doing. Now, there's no way he would have done something like that on purpose. I don't think he's that, you know, that bad. And, you know, and he knows the guy, so he's not gonna go into something like that and do it. He just kind of got off balance, and it was an unfortunate situation.
How do you feel about the goalies? For instance, Vegas, when they said they were starting Robin Lehner last night, I'm like, can you please tell Peter DeBoer this is not an exhibition game? This counts. And then they go out and win 5-3 with the flower on the bench. Pretty nice situation they got in Vegas. What did you think about that decision?
Yeah, I mean, who knows what was going on behind the scenes, just in the sense that maybe Fleury felt like he needed a few more days to kind of get ready before he kind of went in to play a full game. You know, maybe he just maybe he wasn't feeling good. Who knows? There's a million factors that kind of go into it. They got Leonard for a reason, obviously, for insurance for Fleury in case something did happen. Leonard's had an unreal year in Chicago, and then when he obviously got to Vegas, he's played well there too. So for a coach, it's not easy to make those decisions, but I think they'd rather have to make those decisions than, you know, if they just had Fleury and they didn't really know what they had with the other guy and something happened. So it'll be interesting to sort of see sort of how it all plays out, because sometimes it's, you know, I've been surprised so far. I mean, there hasn't been a ton of high scoring games other than the Edmonton Chicago series. You know, sometimes it takes goalies a little bit of time to sort of get comfortable and get used to the speed and the traffic and the broken plays and the sloppiness kind of going on around them in front of them. So far there's been some pretty good goaltending, which I, you know, wasn't really expecting.
No kidding. Well, that just had very much of a tune-up game feel for Vegas. They just took it over in the third period, and if you can win a game like that, good for them. You mentioned the Oilers series, though. 1-1. Your thoughts on their goalies, Koskinen and Smith, and do they have a guy that could lead them somewhere in these playoffs?
Well, I think they're going to have to lean on both of them. You know, they did all year, and, you know, they had success with both guys. You know, I think Koskinen had probably a little bit better year numbers-wise, but I know Smitty. I played with Smitty for 2 years in Phoenix. I know how competitive he is. I know he's got a chip on his shoulder now after that first game. And, you know, it's not that he played bad, just didn't go, it just wasn't his night. You know, in a five, best of five series, time to town. So, you know, it might be good for him. You know, like Koskinen got the win last night, and he was solid when he needed to be. And you know, Smitty's going to give Smitty a little bit more time to keep working on his game. And if the call comes, I know Mike, and I know how competitive he is. He's gonna want to go in there, and if he does get that opportunity to go back in there, he'll be ready to go.
Last one for you, Jason. I mean, you're really enjoying the chat, by the way. We could go on for a long time, but I'll just wrap it up with this. What do you got going now? You mentioned working with the Hitman goalies. What's your future, do you think, in coaching goalies? Just talk about, you know, what you're doing now.
Yeah, well, I live in Calgary. I'm not from Calgary. I grew up in BC, but I moved to Calgary in 2004 and just kind of made it my home. And I was lucky when I retired to that job opened up with the Hitmen, the goalie coach job. And then I just kind of progressed into being an assistant coach. So I'm a full-time coach with the Hitmen. And then I've been lucky in the sense of coming through the Hockey Canada program. So U17s, U18s, Hlinka Gretzky, and then this past Christmas, the World Juniors. So it's been good for me. You know, when you play, you're constantly gone and you're on the road lots and you're moving around and moving your family around. And it's been nice sort of to set some roots in Calgary. And the last few years has been real good. But obviously, you know, if you want to progress, and it's no different than playing, when you want to progress, you know, within the sport, you know, and coaching is, you know, you're going to have to move. So at some point, you know, I'll have to make some decisions down the road. But right now I'm happy doing what I'm doing. The Hitman organization has been great to me. We have a great staff there. I've learned a ton being a part of it. And then again, yeah, just being able to coach the World Junior team last year and then this year coming up, if, you know, if all goes well with all the stuff that's going on, then I'll be back again doing that. So that was an exciting time. And again, you just learn so much. Even though you played, you know, there's just so much to learn on a daily basis. And I've certainly enjoyed it.
Awesome. Well, nice to see you giving back, Jason. Longtime fan here. Appreciate the time and enjoy the rest of the Stanley Cup playoffs and stay safe.
Thanks, guys. You too. I appreciate it.
Jason LaBarbera joining us from Calgary. And by the way, I guess I didn't really like him in the 90s because you could never score on him. We would go into Portland and just get our butts kicked with the Pats. He's a very hard goalie to beat.
Yeah.
Those are some great Portland teams back then.
That'll do it.
We'll break. We're going to talk some soccer a little later on with Simon Fudge. We got a sports update coming back, and we will update the Stanley Cup playoffs, too, because they are underway on this Tuesday morning. It's the RP Show, Canada's daytime sports talk show, continues after this on Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Prairie Mobile is your SaskTel authorized dealer. Whether you're looking for talk, text, or data, shared, unlimited, or business plans, Prairie Mobile will help you find the SaskTel wireless plan that's right for you. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Does this look familiar? Your fans deserve an incredible arena experience. It's time for an upgrade. Stunning graphics. Revenue opportunities are just the beginning with our in-venue display systems and scoring technology. Let us help you find the best solution for your facility. DDG. Always delivering the best fan experience. Find us at ddgregina.com.
People donate blood for moments like this.
But there are lots of reasons why Canada's Lifeline needs donors every day.
Like the fact that someone with leukemia can need up to 8 units of blood a week.
Or that donated blood lasts no longer than 42 days.
Or to help new moms and babies, like Henry.
There's lots of reasons to donate blood. That's why we need donors every day.
The need for blood is constant. Join Toyota and our Toyota dealers in supporting Canada's Lifeline.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel neglected or unloved? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Talking Stanley Cup playoffs. Talking football earlier, Randy Robert Rath writes in. He says, it's hard to get into hockey when we should be watching CFL football. Mindset shift. Think about what you want. Maybe you're happy missing CFL football, but we've talked about it on this throughout the summer. You can wallow in what isn't or celebrate what is. The choice is yours.
It's easy to get into hockey because there is no football. That's the way
you,
I look at it.
You would think.
You would think.
Coming back on that, but first a sports update. The Winnipeg Jets chase a second straight win over the Calgary Flames today. Winnipeg tied its opening round best of five Stanley Cup series at a game each with a 3-2 victory on Monday. Elsewhere, the Leafs and Canucks can tie their respective series with game two wins today. Connor McDavid scored three times to power the Edmonton Oilers past the Chicago Blackhawks 6-3. That tied the best of five qualifying series 1-1. In other action, Pittsburgh down Montreal 3-1 to tie their set at a game each. Veteran running back LeSean McCoy has signed a one-year contract with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. McCoy joins star quarterback Tom Brady, who bolted from the Patriots this offseason. McCoy is entering his 12th NFL season. Fred Van Vliet scored a career-high 36 points to lead the Raptors past the Miami Heat 107-103 yesterday. Van Vliet finished the night with 7 3-pointers. Toronto 2-0 since NBA action resumed last week. The Blue Jays open a series in Atlanta against the Braves. Toronto had the weekend off after their set with the Philadelphia Phillies was postponed. Toronto will start Matt Shoemaker while the Braves will go with lefty Max Fried. CEBL Summer Series tonight. The Saskatchewan Rattlers need a win. They face the Hamilton Honey Badgers. First of a doubleheader followed by Ottawa versus Niagara. You can watch on the CBC Gem app. It'll be broadcast from the Meridian Center in St. Catharines. And the Saskatchewan Rush opening NLL free agency, signing forward Adrian Soricetti yesterday. Prize free agent, left the team in the expansion draft a couple years ago. Signed back, first chance he had. The sports update for Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill, corner of Idlewild and Circle Drive in Saskatoon. Putting you on the spot, Darren. It's Tuesday. You know what that means at Wendell Clark's.
It
rhymes. It. Alliteration.
Taco Tuesday.
Ding, 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 ding. Tell him what he's won, Bob. Chicken tacos, $13.99, featured menu item at Wendell Clark's. See at Wendell's. And for Ben Cahoon's G2G protein bars, I see they're now behind Vernon Adams there in Montreal. We need a new promotion for G2G protein bars, guys. Month of July is up.
Use the promo code.
Oh, yeah. Go back to the promo code. Go to g2gbars.ca. Use the promo code RPSHOW. And get 20% off. And free shipping, too. There you go. We're going to be bringing in our soccer aficionado, Simon Fudge, shortly. I think we'll go back on the CFL reset story before we go any further. And that is that MLSC is going to be injecting the funds into the CFL that it needs to stay alive. The reset's happening. I talked about it twice on the show already, and people are excited that the CFL will be saved. As a matter of fact, I was in line this morning at Starbucks. Guy that's a regular there, he's like, what's the word on the CFL? And I said, well, I don't believe they're playing in 2020, but they will be saved by MLSC. And he goes, well, that's good news. He found it a very positive story. Just follow this. This is what I'm hearing. I'm not confirming anything. But if the federal government doesn't come to the party like the CFL wants, and they don't really want the NFL involved, if MLSC is your daddy, I'm okay with it. They're proven winners. They've got unlimited resources. It's actually everything you'd want.
Yeah. Canadian entity. They've got some good history, deep pockets. I think it's great. We know football is strong in the West in terms of fan support and things like that. Can always be better. We can always continue to grow. But to have that interest level out east a little bit to help really start to invigorate the football community out there, I think is big. And I'll stress this, the fans aren't going to see a difference.
None.
They won't see a difference. Who owns it won't affect the product they see on a day-to-day basis and the way they experience football games and cheer for their teams. That's not changing.
Jeff, the Stampeders fan, says pretty ironic that MLSC would be the savior. I'm interested in why you would think that, Jeff. I don't know what's ironic about that. They are one of the league's owners, and as I just said, unlimited resources. It's actually genius thinking, and I think Randy Ambrosi has a really big part in this, and Randy Ambrosi will remain as the CFL commissioner, and I think that, frankly, this just opens all kinds of doors. What would be ironic about MLSC saving the CFL? I don't...
Maybe the fact that football in Toronto... People don't want the CFL in Toronto. In terms
but that's
of
not
fan.
MLA's fault.
But that's not MLSC. That's the fan base. That's the only ironic thing I could see.
Yeah. Colin in Ottawa watching says, wow, for all the criticism I heap on MLSC, I got to say I like the news. Maybe my mind can be changed. Hey, I like the fact that our fastest growing region for viewership is Ontario. We're forging a great relationship with the Argos franchise, and yep. I think it's all positive. I hope this is what happens. All right, well, Simon Fudge, we have said for really since the show launched, is our soccer aficionado, and he's joining us from Vancouver today with all the latest. Simon, you have really got me into soccer. You've informed me a ton on the game, the world's most popular game. But I will say this, With MLS is back and the Canadian teams being out, you must have noticed the coverage in Canada has just fallen off the cliff. Am I right?
It depends on you know what the numbers are, but there probably would have been a drop, yes, in the numbers with all three teams. I think it would have been a particular surprise, especially that the Montreal Impact and especially Toronto FC went out at the round of 16. I think Toronto FC's early exit was a particular disappointment. They were very disappointing in that game against New York City FC. And other than having Ayo Akinola really become a player to watch out in that TFC side, it was a performance that really, I think, has indicated that they're probably, by the end of this season, going to have to make a huge turnover and get a lot of these big-name guys that they've got there, like Michael Bradley and Jose Altidore, out and sort of refresh the side and build around a couple of the Latin American players that they've brought in, and Pozuelo, the Spaniard, and Piatti, the Argentinian. Montreal, when I watched their first game in the tournament, I just wonder where the goals were going to come from, because they looked like they were going to struggle. Thierry Henry, the side's not complete for him. And of course, with the pandemic, he's not been able to kind of go out into the worldwide soccer market and try and address some of those issues. And I think when they got knocked down the round of 16, that same issue came up again. They just, when they needed a goal, when they were goal down, they just didn't have it. Vancouver was a different situation. It was actually a pleasant surprise in some respects that they were able to make the round of 16. They were missing a third of their squad. At least a handful of guys stayed here in Vancouver because they chose not to go to the tournament for personal or family reasons. And then they lost another three or four guys to injury, of course, in the goalkeeping department, which brought that great story about Saskatoon's Thomas Hassel. But realistically, they weren't really going to go very far. So when you ask me the question of, you know, what amount of Canadian interest there might be there, with the exception of those that really follow the league and follow the sport, you're probably right. The interest probably has dropped. And that's disappointing, because I think especially with Toronto and maybe even with Montreal, more was expected from these teams.
Well, I'm just saying, just in Canada, I don't think it's dropped off in the States. And also, by the way, that's just because the Stanley Cup playoffs have started playing. In Major League Baseball, too, the Blue Jays are playing. Look, Simon, you know yourself. You watch SportsCenter. You couldn't turn around without getting the news of the Canadian teams. But let me ask, and I'm going to ask, by the way, about the Canadian Premier League's return to play scenario, too, in a minute. But how do you feel about the way MLS is back, the way they've pulled it off? How do you feel about that? The quality of play, the facilities, the way it's shaken down. How do you feel about the way they've pulled it off?
I think overall they've done a very good job. On the front end, it was dicey. Obviously, when they lost FC Dallas and Nashville because of the coronavirus cases that they reported, I could understand that there was a lot of concern amongst a lot of people. I mean, you speak to anybody, even anyone who covers the Whitecaps here, or anyone else and covers the league, that going into the tournament, everyone was just looking at and thinking, with the way the coronavirus numbers were going up in Florida, that this was not a good idea. And that first week seemed to almost sort of underline that a little bit. But my feeling at the time was, they get everybody into that bubble, and once they kind of weed out those that were positive, and unfortunately they lost two of their teams as a result of it, they probably were going to be all right as long as everybody were disciplined and stayed within their bubble. And that's what's happened. And it's allowed them to get on with playing the games. The facilities that they've been able to use have been excellent. They've been using it. There's a number of soccer fields in that sort of ESPN Wild World Sports Complex there in Orlando, but they've been actually using two of them to play the games, and I think it's gone very, very well. And what I think has also been a particularly interesting note since we've gotten into the knockout stage is, with a number of games under the team's belt and players' belt, the standard of play has gone up. So now we're at the semifinal stages, and they make for very interesting games starting tomorrow. And to me, the team to watch out for, I think, in the last four is the Philadelphia Union. Jim Curtin, the head coach there, I think has done an excellent job. He's got a very tricky game against the Portland Timbers, who I think have also played quite well. The home team, Orlando City, will play Minnesota United in the other semifinal. Minnesota's got a bit of a Canadian connection with one of its members of the coaching staff and the former Canadian international, Mark Watson, who's from here in Vancouver. They're a very, very interesting team to watch. One or two of the other ones that I was kind of favoriting in terms of San Jose, Earthquakes, for example, were ones I thought were going to go quite far, but in the end, or even Columbus Crew as well, they showed a lot of early promise that they could go on and win it. But it's really been, at the end of the day, the likes of a Philadelphia that I think are really going to be the ones you want to watch out for. So overall, I think it's gone very, very well. And of course, now there's a talk about what they're going to do after this tournament ends a week today.
Well, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. My last question for you, Simon, is the CPL. They've announced their return to play. It's actually right around the corner. That's the Canadian Premier League in its second season of existence. How do you feel about their plan and if they'll be able to pull it off?
Oh, I think so. I think they're going to be very much ready to go. You got to remember that when the pandemic happened, it's sort of mid-March, they were already 2 weeks into their preseason. So for at least 3-4 months now, all these eight teams with their players have been basically stuck in their marketplaces, either doing personal training or in the last few weeks been able to sort of do full team training. Now they're gearing up to obviously go to Charlottetown PEI for what is being dubbed the Island Games. It's a 35-game tournament. You'll have a first round where all eight teams will play everybody once. The top four from there will go to a 14 group. They'll all play each other once in that 14 group, and then the top two will go to a championship game. The tournament will start a week Thursday on August 13th. All the games will be shown on the partnered service or streaming service that the CPL has with One Soccer, which is run by Media Pro Canada. I should say that they do the production for the CEBL, for the CBC, by the way. And the winner of it will obviously not just win the league title for this year, but they'll also get a spot in the secondary CONCACAF competition called the CONCACAF League. So should be really interesting. I think the favorites in that tournament are going to be the likes of Forge from Hamilton and Cavalry from Calgary. They were the two best teams last year. I keep an eye out for the Vancouver Island team, Pacific FC. They've really stocked up, got a new head coach and a guy, really, really interesting character named Pa Moduka, who's got some good young players in there. They'd be worth watching out for in this tournament. And you've got the debut of Atletico Ottawa, which is owned by the big Spanish and European giants, Atletico Madrid. They haven't actually had a chance to play a competitive game yet, so this tournament is going to offer them the opportunity to have a competitive debut. And all the games will be played at UPEI, or University of Prince Edward Island's alumni field, on the turf there. So they're setting it up in a very similar way to what MLS did, to what the NHL are doing right now. Central hub, get everybody in, regular testing. And hopefully, as it goes over sort of several weeks, this will turn into a very successful venture, because it gives them, as much as the CEBL, an opportunity to sort of give themselves positive exposure and try and get new converts and new fans to the league, because it's obviously, as we know, their only second year of existence.
Well, I think it sounds very exciting, and I'm glad that they were able to get a plan together and hopefully pull it off. Simon, I appreciate the time, my man. I appreciate all you do for us, and we'll check in soon.
One more thing, if I could just add.
Yeah, real quickly.
Canada will be starting their pathway to try and qualify for the next World Cup in Qatar in October. CONCACAF, which is the region that we're in, revised the whole World Cup qualifying process. So Canada's going to need to get through an early group, win that group in games in October, November, play a two-game playoff in March, which would then lead them into a big eight-team last round qualifying process with all the big teams like the States and Mexico next June. So just for everyone to know that Canada's path to try and qualify for that next World Cup was going to start in the fall.
Awesome. Okay, thank you, Sam. Appreciate it. Stay safe out there.
Yeah, cheers. Thanks, guys.
Our soccer insider, Simon Fudge, joining us from Vancouver. We'll be right back. It's the RP Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Prairie Mobile is your SaskTel authorized dealer. Whether you're looking for talk, text, or data, shared, unlimited, or business plans, Prairie Mobile will help you find the SaskTel wireless plan that's right for you. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Does this look familiar? Your fans deserve an incredible arena experience. It's time for an upgrade. Stunning graphics. Revenue opportunities are just the beginning with our in-venue display systems and scoring technology. Let us help you find the best solution for your facility. DDG. Always delivering the best fan experience. Find us at ddgregina.com.
People donate blood for moments like this.
But there are lots of reasons why Canada's Lifeline needs donors every day.
Like the fact that someone with leukemia can need up to 8 units of blood a week.
Or that donated blood lasts no longer than 42 days.
Or to help new moms and babies, like Henry.
There's lots of reasons to donate blood. That's why we need donors every day.
The need for blood is constant. Join Toyota and our Toyota dealers in supporting Canada's Lifeline.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel neglected or unloved? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
No. Hey, welcome back. I'm saying the Twitter account. CFL News, 3 down. They're all over VA's top 10 quarterbacks. Not everybody's jumping on my MLSE comment. Well, not yet. I mean, they never do until it happens, right?
I know.
I don't even know where to start. I wanted to talk about the Stanley Cup playoffs with you. Armando Moreno writes in. He is the global football reporter. He says, a question for you guys. How much do you Canadians really care about soccer World Cup? It's a niche area. I get into it. It was once every 4 years, right? It's like the World Cup of hockey. And I married into a Greek family, so they're always very excited about it.
Right.
Overall, not wild about it.
We got really excited when the Canadian women's team started doing really well. And that got a lot more interest. And now we're hoping that will translate into the men's side. But if we're not active and we're not competing on that national stage, there's not a ton.
Makes sense. Now, to the MLSE thing we were talking about, Mike in Waterloo writes in. He says, wow, I'm late to the party. What's this about MLSE saving the CFL? I guess kind of snapping everybody out of the doldrums here, really, of the funk that is CFL news right now. I'm just hearing that it will be MLSE that rides to the rescue, and it actually isn't necessarily a new thing. A guy told me a month ago, a guy that used to work for the Argos, he said the MLSE is running the CFL right now, period. I'm not going to get into all the reasons that he outlined for me as to how, but I believed him. And the money's not going to come from Ottawa. It's not going to come from the NFL. It'll come from MLSE, and they've got unlimited money. I just don't see this as being a bad thing. The rules aren't going to need to change. Field dimensions, team names, nothing. This could be up and running by next year. But, Darren, we're not expecting football in 2020. People are expecting it, and I don't know why.
I know.
I think they just want it so bad.
They
right?
want it so bad, and I would look at reasons to be excited about the CFL returning and why the CFL may return. The only thing I can think of is that they've decided on Winnipeg as the hub. So they've made a plan as to where the games will be played. But that's it. I haven't seen any resolution between the CFL and the CFLPA. I haven't seen any timeline in terms of a schedule. I haven't seen a schedule released yet or a date for the Grey Cup. I haven't seen anything that makes me believe that they're going to play. Yeah, they've been going through some work in terms of, you know, negotiating loans and terms and things like that. And they don't like those terms and they're continuing to work down that path. So maybe that's a half a point on the positive side. But there's really nothing to make me believe that they're going to play at all.
No. Jeff, the Stamps fan, says, so can we put the NFL partnership idea to bed? You can do whatever you want. It was fun to think about. I'm just saying this is the latest news that's come on my radar now. If it all fell apart, then they might be knocking on the NFL's door. I mean, you can do whatever you want. I'm still not totally against that. CFL is still going to have a lot of challenges even under this.
Oh, yeah.
From Jair on the Prairie Mobile text line at 306-840-8777. Prairie Mobile is your authorized SaskTel mobility dealer. Says, good morning, Mr. Rod Peterson and company. One would hope the former CFL, under the rule of MLSE, gets a total restart slash restructure with a new streamlined, strictly adhered operating manual unto each franchise, bloated team administrations not needed or wanted. Randy Ambrosi remaining as commissioner is evident he's weak and will eventually weed himself out to the sidelines. That's from Jair. No, under the proposal that I've been led to believe, Randy Ambrosi is the guy moving forward, and I endorse it. From Metal Shingle Guy. That's the problem, dupes. Won't see a difference is correct. Still no fans in Toronto, Montreal, BC. Got to change the whole thing to survive. Three down ball just doesn't have the support it needs. New league, new brand, new rules, new teams, four down feeder system. Now, there's a guy that we actually convinced this was the right way to go.
Right.
But here's the interesting thing, and I don't know why, maybe it's the difference in the mindset between Canadians and Americans, but you guys all want to, again, wag your finger at the Argos and the Lions and the Alouettes. Have you watched a Florida Panthers game lately or a Baltimore Orioles or an Arizona Coyotes or any of those stadiums that are empty? It's not just a CFL problem, you know?
Yeah.
And the other thing is there's a lot to be unpacked here with this MLSE theory or rumor. It's not one ownership owning the league. I think people need to understand that. That's what the XFL is. That's not what the CFL is or will be. Basically, it's what I've been saying. If MLSE pumps in all his dough, they're going to want some control. That's only fair. If the NFL would have pumped in a bunch of dough, they were going to want control. And maybe even Ottawa would have got control if Justin Trudeau had pumped that money in. So you have to look and examine it, the way the difference all these leagues are managed. But at least if there's some money in the head office, it's going to help those major markets, Darren, fight back a little bit. You need money to operate.
Sure.
I guess is the point.
Absolutely. But here's the thing. It's a constant moving battle. So when we get on the NFL Canada bandwagon and now you jump on it, we jump over to the other side, we'll hit you from the other side like a prize fight, right? We're bouncing around. But you know what? The complete reset, it doesn't exactly work either. New teams, new rules, new everything. How did that work out for the XFL, right? Doesn't exactly work out. You know, when we talk NFL Canada, that's the NFL coming in with the brands, but keeping all the same teams, keeping the communities, keeping a lot of things the same. It all depends on how you do it. This is great. It's a focus, you know, out of Toronto with a group that's got a huge footprint in Southern Ontario. So immediately they can begin trying to, you know, bring credibility to the Argonauts in that market, how to bring relevancy to the eastern side of the CFL. We're doing okay out west. You know, seeing a Rider game's not going to change. Seeing as how you know, experience the Stampeders, it's not going to change. Teams will still be promoting themselves. But it worked when you got a big entity, you know, John Candy and that group, when they bought the Argonauts, it made the Argonauts relevant.
Right.
Now you get the biggest entity in Toronto, MLSE, buying the whole league. It might bring some credibility to that region. I think it's exciting.
Well, and I was not in favor of the NFL taking over the Canadian Football League. All things being equal, I want the CFL to survive. It's meant so much to me. I couldn't imagine there not being a CFL. But if the NFL was the last option for funding, as it was in the 90s, I guess that's, I mean, I was in favor of that. I like this better. And the other thing with the CFL sim, as much as people like to poo-poo it and scoff at it, it's been fun. I've had the people from MLSC calling me saying, we're following this. We love it. How can we help? I've been saying that for the last couple of weeks, Darren.
Yes.
This could be the first workings of a CFL video game. We could be on the cusp of something really big for the CFL.
No, it's huge.
And we're all on board with it. We'll bring in Game Plus and all what we have to offer here.
Oh, yeah. And that's the big thing. When you get into that video game world and you get in, you know, to more of that, it's more coverage. It's more familiarity with all the players. Just look at all the guys, the Canadians and the kids and the players who have come through the CFL, you know, in the three down column that Justin put up over the weekend that listed all of them who are now in the NFL. There's a massive amount of credibility amongst the players with this league.
Oh, yeah. Just a couple points before we break and bring in Kirk Morrison from Krugo. On the CFL sim, BC at Saskatchewan's leading for Canada's game of the week. It's looking right now like we will be broadcasting it on this Facebook Live channel Thursday night. The other options are Winnipeg at Ottawa. Paul Lapolis looking for a win over his former club. Montreal at Hamilton, Toronto at Calgary. Tell your friends, retweet our, get them to vote. If you are not a Rider fan, if you're fans of other teams, vote on it. And can you put a comment up from Craig Campbell from the Hockey Hall of Fame? And by the way, Craig, we got your package. Thank you so much for the gifts from the Hockey Hall of Fame in downtown Toronto. Check it out this summer if you have time, or fall for that matter. Are you finding it, guys? Yeah, they're just saying 1 second. Nelson Hakowicz says MLSC has massive influence in the TV business with both TSN and Sportsnet, and possibly get the CFL on both networks. Yeah, this is all good news. From Craig Campbell, a flag football initiative needs to be started in primary school, CFL program, and perhaps a sponsor like Nissan. Not sure on the dollars, but our oldest daughter is a fan after playing in high school, so it might help if you reach out to a younger audience. That helps. The computer sim helps. This could emerge bigger, stronger, better. Dupes, you're rolling, right?
Yep.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Kirk Morrison coming in next as we talk Krugo Fest. It's the RP Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
At Suds, we make your car shine. It starts with our state-of-the-art wash system. Our NeoGlide wash material is safe and gentle on vehicles and buffs your finish to a brilliant shine. Plus, we hand dry and inspect every vehicle for a top quality result. I'm Kirby.
And I'm Natalie. Whether you're getting an exterior wash that takes 10 minutes or treating yourself to an interior cleaning, the result's going to be the same. Your vehicle's going to look great.
Suds Full Service Car Wash.
We'll make your car shine.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming at the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
I've chased adrenaline my entire life. But I'm talking fourth quarter, monster hit, crowd losing it. Nothing beats the energy of a rush game.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody, for the overtime segment. And I'm just wondering, have any of you have thought, if these games go to four or five overtimes in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and there's a game booked for like a couple hours after, what are they going to do? I'm sure they've talked about it, but I haven't heard it. Can you write it in the Facebook Live comments or Prairie Mobile text line and let me know? Because I don't know. I'm watching all the games. Something that I've thought about. Well, there's a lot of people talking around here about Krugofest, and it's coming up here this month. As a matter of fact, right this weekend, Kirk Morrison joins us from Krugo, the very popular event app, ticket-selling app. Kirk joins us here to talk about it. And I was kind of excited to see your name on the board because all weekend, Kirk... Actually, over the last week, really, people have been talking about what you guys got going on.
Yeah.
It's cool.
It's big.
Yeah, it's big. So for those that have no idea what Krugofest is about, can you please explain it? And then I'll get into my heavy questions for you.
Totally. So, okay. You know, so we're in the business of travel and events, and none of that's happening right now. So we kind of took a creative look at it this summer and said, what can we do? And we work at the Path Cowork space attached to the DoubleTree Hotel. And every day I would come to work and I look up at all those balconies at that hotel and thought, you know, is there a way that we could stage like a rooftop concert, have our stage somewhere on a rooftop and sell all those balconies? So basically what it is, we've got four shows coming up. You basically buy a package and that's good for you and three other people. You get the room for the night, you get a meal from a local caterer, and you get your private balcony. It's like basically a private box seat experience.
Yeah.
That you get in an arena or a stadium. So you can bring your own snacks, you can bring your own drinks, you get your meal, you get the room for the night, and you get your choice of, you know, three really cool Canadian artists.
Right. So the stage is going, it's up or it's going up?
Stage went up today.
Wow.
So we're the show, first show is on Thursday night. There's still tickets available. So we've got Jess Moskaluk headlining on Thursday. On Saturday, we've got Cor Blund. And then next weekend on the 14th and 15th, the Sheepdogs are kind of capping it all off.
So this is all in Regina.
Regina.
So can you buy single nights or it's got to be two nights?
You can buy single nights. You can buy just a package, which is good for four people for any of the concerts that you want to go to. So it starts at $600. That's for four people. And again, you get the hotel room, you get the meals, you get to bring your own drinks, you get the private balcony. So it's, you know, everybody at Krugofest is a VIP. Everybody's in a private box.
Well, one thing that I know, you need to keep pounding this into people's heads. And for a lot of people, this is the first that they're hearing about it. So they can buy the tickets at showpass.com.
That's right. Yeah. So we're selling them there. So just search for Regina. There were the only four events on it right now. So you can see all the tickets that are available. You can pick your room. You can pick the meal that you want. It's totally customizable.
Wow.
Yeah.
Showpass.com. Now, how long has it been in the works?
So we started this like 6 weeks ago. From, you know, we had this idea.
Ooh, that's a lot. You've accomplished a lot and not a lot.
It's been
a lot of time.
Busy.
Yeah.
You know, I think oftentimes these things get planned over a longer time horizon. We didn't plan on doing this coming into the year. You know, we're rolling with the punches. It was, can we do something that's going to give people a live music experience, but that's safe, that adheres to the current public health order, that keeps everybody safe, and it's completely physically distanced. We've got a bunch of procedures in place. We're going to be asking people to wear masks or face coverings on their way in. We're going to be asking people to arrive at an assigned time so we can separate, you know, the groups that are coming in. So everything that we're doing with this event has safety in mind.
Jess Moskaluk, Cor Blund, the Sheepdogs. Who was the fourth?
Sheepdogs are doing two shows.
They're doing two shows. Oh, sweet.
Yeah. So we got a Friday, Saturday for them. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Now, here's the one thing that I want to appeal to people that are watching. There's a lot of people been hit hard in the pandemic. There's a lot that have just kept right on working. And I've heard from them. They're like, well, we're supporting restaurants because we haven't lost our job. Our wage hasn't been cut. But I think of the people in the entertainment field. Don't even get me going on sports. They've just been kicked in the head, let alone the shins.
Yeah.
But the entertainment, the acts, Jess's crew. You know, people just see Jess Moskaluk. They don't think about all the people that work with her. So I can't imagine getting them to do a show was that hard.
This whole thing is an effort to support the industry.
Right.
We've got local artists who want to play. We've got local caterers who want to cook. We've got the hotel industry who's been, you know, the hardest hit probably through this whole thing. They've got rooms available and they're ready to roll out the red carpet. So this is about supporting businesses in our community. And at the end of the day, if we're successful with ticket sales, we hope to do a good raise for the Regina Food Bank. Obviously, food insecurity in our community at an all-time high right now. Looking to raise some money for the food bank.
This is so exciting and so unique too. But has it been fun putting it together, or just frankly a heck of a lot of work?
It's been stressful. You know, it's a lot goes into this type of stuff. But I think, you know, once we're all sitting there, the people show up and have this really cool, you know, private box seat experience at a time when there's not a lot of live entertainment going on, I think it's going to be all worth it. It's going to be really cool to see some of these local businesses have an opportunity to do what they do best. And, you know, a lot of people have foregone vacations, they've foregone, you know, rider tickets, they've foregone a lot of what their summer entertainment typically looks like. So we're just hoping that we can kind of provide a slice of normalcy.
Showpass.com.
That's right.
That's the best way. And what should people know about the Krugo app, by the way?
So our app is all about, you know, helping you find things to do when you're traveling. So live events, restaurants, places to stay. It's really like the what you're doing when you're traveling kind of app. You know, obviously not a lot of people are traveling right now, but we're all about experiences. We're all about helping people find more of what they love. And that's what this is. We just want to bring, you know, something back in a way that meets the public health order and is safe. But is that it's also like, a real concert experience.
Awesome. Well, I've been thinking a lot about you guys, the people in the industry, and what I heard. This is coming. I'm like, this is exciting.
Yeah.
So good for you. Really how are you for ticket sales? I mean, you're still selling. People should know that.
We're right? Still selling. Tickets are still available. But, you know, every day that inventory is kind of dwindling. We've only got about 100 rooms every night. So it's not a huge capacity that we've got to work with. So I'd say, you know, if it's something that you're looking at, get on those tickets quick because they're gonna move.
Anything else you'd like to add?
No. I mean, I think it's, we look forward to having everybody out. It's going to be a ton of fun.
Yeah, sounds like it. All right. Good luck. We'll see you this weekend.
Thanks.
Kirk Morrison joining us from Krugo and Krugo Fest. Showpass.com is where you can buy yours and help out the entertainment industry, hotels, as he said, the food business, and all the rest during a very tough time. A big thanks to our guest today, Vernon Adams Jr., the Alouettes, Jason LaBarbera, 12-year NHL veteran, now the goalie coach and assistant coach of the Calgary Hitmen, Simon Fudge, our soccer insider, and Kirk Morrison. And a big show coming up tomorrow. We'll see you at 10 a.m. Mountain on Facebook Live and Game Plus TV Network.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.